This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour coming up for you as the NBA offseason has provided a lot of treats, and it's not even a week old. We just saw the conclusion of the NBA draft, so we'll be taking a little bit of a look there. We'll be recapping a few of the picks that we saw in day number two, but I'm going to be looking a little bit more broadly at the board as well, which teams might be yielding a little bit of value on the card now that we've got the NBA draft all done now. We'll say in terms of the teams that were drafting towards the top, other than the Dallas Mavericks. I do think that Cooper Flagg going to the Dallas Mavericks, that's actually a very good instant impact, and the Mavericks can actually do something out west. But a lot of these other teams drafting towards the top, probably not going to be competing for a title this year. That said, we've got a lot of teams that are hoping to compete for a title in Major League Baseball. We'll be breaking that down. And Greg's NFL Random Roulette is going to be continuing in 30 minutes. We're breaking down one team by random pretty much every single hour, which I'm hosting, which we've got ourselves 32 teams in total. We are through three this far. We've got down the Vikings in the last hour. If you missed that, vsin.com/podcast. We had an interesting take on taking the Vikings win total under for this upcoming season. And then on the show yesterday, we had ourselves the Jacksonville Jaguars and the LA Rams. So we will see where the roulette wheel lands tonight. And with regards to ping pong balls, they landed on the Mavericks being the number one overall team for the first overall pick here in the 2025 NBA draft. But it's all finalized. It's all in the books. Did feel like you had some relatively solid value picks in this round of the draft with John Tonji going outside of the top 50. I felt like that was a relatively good pickup. And then again, I just take a look at what the Charlotte Hornets did. A team that is not going to be one that you want your futures tickets on or anything like that, but they got better. They got better, and that's about the best thing that we've been able to say about the Hornets for about a decade, as they picked up here in round number two, Sion James at pick 33, Ryan Kalkbrenner at pick 34, and the Kalkbrenner pick is all the more important because they did have a situation where they had traded away Mark Williams. They traded him away for the first-round pick this season, which they were able to get a really nice deal, in my opinion. Being able to get at number 29 overall, Liam McNeely, I thought that that was very good for them. And then additionally, at number four, Con Kadepo, that was a little bit of a foregone conclusion, but I'm still a guy that's able to be a microwave scorer, a little bit of a better defender than a lot of people want to give him credit for. I thought that that was a tremendous haul for them. And then just in terms of team that I'm feeling bearish on, and I mean, it's a brutal West. You've got a team in the New Orleans Pelicans that, again, I just still have my question marks about Jeremiah Fears. Maybe I'm just being a little bit too, shall we say, bearish on him, but I mean, that said, this is a guy that it just felt like the turnover issues, they were just a little bit too rampant over there at Oklahoma. Is he a playmaker? Oh, absolutely. He is a playmaker. And does he have upside? Yes. At the same time, I just don't know how he necessarily fits in with that New Orleans offense, for one, and for two, they have, for the New Orleans Pelicans, traded away an unprotected first-round pick for Derek Queen. And Derek Queen, I think, is a very good player. Like him going at 13 overall, no gripes about the pick itself. Getting Derek Queen at 13, I actually think, is relatively solid value. Giving away a first-round pick this year, which turned out to be Asa Newell for the Atlanta Hawks. He was playing out there with the Georgia Bulldogs, so he stays in state. That's good, clean fun right there. And additionally, you've got yourself the unprotected pick that is going to be going out there as well to the Atlanta Hawks. Man, I just felt like that was a little bit too much of a burden to pay. So I do think that with regards to the New Orleans Pelicans, they had a little bit of a rough draft. Would have liked to have seen them go in a different direction there. And if you're taking a look at the direction of the NBA futures market, not a lot of movement in terms of these odds, mainly because we knew these guys that were going to be getting drafted. And I mean, right now, you've got like the Boston Celtics holding steady at 20-1. You've got the team that I really think provides the best value out there on the board, the Denver Nuggets, currently at 15-1. Needless to say, the Nuggets really didn't do a lot in the NBA draft. I didn't feel like they really needed to do so. The big thing is being able to retain those pieces that were a part of that 2022 NBA title run, and they were able to do so there. You still have Christian Brown, you still have Jamal Murray, all those guys, because we recall after that first offseason, they had quite a few guys leave the program, so that was a little bit of an issue for you, but I do think that overall for the Nuggets, them at 15-1, when you've got, in my opinion, the number one player on the face of planet Earth with Nikola Jokic, getting them as the number seven shot on the board right now over at DraftKings, I think that you got some relatively solid value there. And then there were a lot of teams that it was just a little bit wishy-washy with them. Like with the 76ers, we talked with Eitan Chander, who does great work over at Odd Shopper in our number one. He's based out there in the great city, or the great state of Pennsylvania. I know that he was talking about this being just a mess for them. Joel Embiid, you don't know what you're going to get there. Paul George, is he going to be able to stay healthy? You just go down the list. And I like the VJ Edgecombe pick. Like VJ Edgecombe at number three, very versatile guy. He's got great athleticism. I thought that that was a worthy number three pick. And I mean, for a team like the Philadelphia 76ers, who I may we forget in the 2024 season, that was a team that made a deep playoff run. So, I mean, they are capable of being able to do so. I don't know what to be able to expect out of them, though. So, I mean, they're in a little bit of no man's land there. And then the obvious favorite, the OKC Thunder. It did not matter what they did here in the NBA draft. They were going to be the very, very demonstrative favorite at plus 225. Nobody else within plus 750, which right now we're finding that with the Houston Rockets. Not a team that really did a lot in terms of the NBA draft. They did not need to do a lot in the NBA draft. And I do think that with regards to this futures board, again, that one team that I think could be able to dethrone the OKC Thunder, I'm really liking this Denver Nuggets team. I just think that when you've got Nikola Jokic, you've got yourself a shot right here on cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and you've got a shot to be able to score yourself a great deal here at VSiN, getting in on everything that we're able to do here at the network all throughout the football season, and that's via VSiN Pro subscription. You want to get in on this early bird special now. $175 locks up everything that we do all throughout the football season. That's every sport, every day, and you're going to be getting the NFL Betting Guide, which is going to be coming out on Tuesday, July 1st, so in mere days. I tell you, I project every single one of my NFL playoff teams in there. You're able to get early access to this betting guide, which means a better shot at being able to spot all the futures market value before the lines move, and now's the perfect time to be able to join in with this special of $175 that covers you all the way through the Super Bowl. And keep in mind, that covers you throughout much of the college basketball season, rest of the baseball season. So it is on like Donkey Kong there. And you'll be on with regards to the NFL betting guide. And you'll be on with regards to a daily best bet email from our VSiN show hosts and guests every single day. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. And full access to VSiN's analytics, tools, and pro systems. VSiN.com/subscribe. You want to lock in this NFL football early bird special right now for $175. VSIN.com/subscribe, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And with the VSiN Pro subscription, you get access to my daily MLB write-ups, as well as we've got ourselves some interesting games that are currently on the board. And this one, I think, is a relatively fun one where we've mostly got a total of 8.5 that I think is a scode shoe high. 921, 922 on the card. It is the Cleveland Guardians. They play OC St. Louis Cardinals. Sonny Gray hopes that it's a sunny day for him out there in Cleveland. And Luis Ortiz is on the bump for Cleveland. Like I said, mostly seeing 8.5s. I'm seeing one straight 8 here over at Circa. And with the St. Louis Cardinals, they're in the neighborhood about minus 125 to minus 130. Anywhere between plus 107 to a plus 115 is that number on the Cleveland Guardians. Personally, I wrote this up on the under of an 8.5. I would still be willing to take it at 8. I did set my total at a 7.9. Would not want to go any further than an 8, but I would be willing to take that 8 under. For Sonny Gray, he has had some home and road splits that have been a bit wonky. Sub 3 ERA at home. On the road, he's been posting up north of a 5 ERA as he's been giving up the deep ball a little bit too much away from home. But that said, if you take a look at Sonny Gray overall for the season, hovering right around about a 3.75 ERA, fielding independent is a 3.11. 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings, 1.1 home runs per 9. I think that he's going to do a good job here against a Cleveland Guardians lineup that it's just very top heavy. Like Jose Ramirez, you know what you're able to get out of him. 13 plus home runs, he's hitting above a 300. You've been able to have Stephen Kwan at a 300. Even Carlos Santana, even though he's not had the world's greatest year, he's still been okay for the team. But then you get down to the bottom of the lineup, like your Nolan Joneses. Like, it was so bad for Brian Rocchio and John Kenzie Noel. They had to send them down to the minor league level. Recognize that he's towards the top of the lineup, but Kyle Manzardo throw in there as well, just someone like a Bo Naylor. These guys can get 220 or lower. It's just rampant with this team. Will Wilson has not been great either. And for the St. Louis Cardinals, they're finding a way to manufacture runs despite the fact that they're really not hitting homers. For the St. Louis Cardinals team, they do find themselves towards the bottom part of the league, 22nd in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. And it does go down to about 2.4% of at-bats in which they hit a home run away from home. But even with that, this is a top 10 team in terms of run creation. I think that that's going to fall off a little bit. You've been able to have Mason Wynn do a solid job, move the line, hitting for north of a 330 on base. But right now, your top home run hitters, you've had Nolan Arenado along with Wilson Contreras give you about 10 home runs apiece, but you've been able to get some relatively good production out of a pair of guys in Brandon Donovan along with Alec Burleson hitting north of 285 apiece. And this is a St. Louis Cardinals bullpen that has been a little bit shaky with Ryan Helsley, the closer, 5 blown saves thus far this season. But these guys like Phil Matone, Kyle Lee have been able to do a solid job coming in, giving you a sub 3.5 ERA. Flip side for the Cleveland Guardians, after they were number one in the big leagues last season in terms of their bullpen ERA, right around about league averages here. Emmanuel Clase has been a little bit better lately, but I mean, the long guys like a Jacob Junis hasn't necessarily been that great. You've got Hunter Gaddis along Cade Smith both being able to give you a sub 3 ERA. So these two guys have been able to do a solid job. You've been able to get some nice mix and match innings out of someone like a Nick Enright, but I do think that in the end it's going to be a little bit tough for this Cleveland Guardians team, especially with Luis Ortiz, who is a strikeout artist, 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, but posting up about a 430 ERA. Does have the propensity to give up the walks, north of 4 walks per 9 innings. That'll play right into the hands of a St. Louis Cardinals team that isn't necessarily generating a ton of hard contact, but they're doing a nice job playing station-to-station baseball. At about minus 122 or better, we'll be looking at the Cardinals money line. And with regards to total, I do like the 8 to 8.5 under. And coming up next, how about if we take a look at some more interleague baseball right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we've got ourselves some tremendous baseball that is going to be on tap for this Friday. How about if we take a look at the card as we left off by talking about an interleague game between the Cardinals and the Cleveland Guardians. Lots of interleague games involving these NL Central teams, as we also have the Cubs in action. So how about if we take a look at 9:25, 9:26 on the card, as it is the Houston Astros throwing out their Brandon Walter, and Cade Horton, here's a who, is going to be on the bump for the Cubbies. Right now this total opened up at a 9, but we have seen this tick down to an 8.5. Relative pick'em game. Both sides, you're fighting in the neighborhood about a minus 110. If you're really able to get lucky with the Astros, more around about a minus 103 to a minus 105. And with regards to this Astros team, I did set them at a minus 113. I like them on the money line for Brandon Walter. He's made a few starts for the Houston Astros, and he's been solid. I'm not going to say that he's been, like, amazing and just absolutely knocking your socks off or anything like that, but still, doing a good job holding down the fort. 380 ERA across his 4 starts. Has been doing a really good job in terms of walks. Less than a walk per 9 innings, 9.5 strikeouts per 9 as well. Did give up the deep ball a little bit in his last start, but I mean, if you even go back to what he was able to do with the Sugar Land Space Cowboys in the AAA affiliate, great nickname, by the way, he was able to be really locked down on that front as well. So I'm liking him. And for Cade Horton, the swing and miss stuff is not necessarily tremendous with him, but Cade Horton has been able to do a nice job of, for lack of a better term, keeping things out in front of him. He's not going to beat himself with a lot of walks, giving up 2.2 walks per 9 innings. He's supplying you with about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, 3.73 ERA, fielding independence about a 3.78 as well. And then when it comes to just the overall production that you've been able to get out of him, he's been a little bit more shaky on the road rather than at home. But all in all, he's been able to do a nice job holding it down. And for this Cubs team, I do think that you might see a little bit of, shall we say, regression with this bullpen. You just have so many guys that are overperforming right now. You've got the likes of Caleb Theobar, Daniel Palencia, Drew Pomeranz, guys that are giving you a sub-3 ERA. Brad Keller, you're able to throw him in there. Chris Flexen has been really good in this bullpen. It's like, wow, these are a bunch of failed starters that all of a sudden have been able to really find it in this bullpen. And I just don't know where that's going to be going. But I mean, what I can tell you is that the Chicago Cubs have been really good in terms of this lineup. They are currently in number two in the National League in terms of runs per game. Five different guys who have been able to give you at least 11 homers thus far this season, as you've been able to get a double-figure amount of bombs out of, say, Suzuki and Pete Armstrong, 20-plus home runs out of both of those guys. Additionally, you've been able to get really good production out of Michael Busch, who's been able to give you north of 350 on base, double-figure amount of homers there, and you've been able to get some good just guys in general outside of that. Moving the line, Nico Horner has been able to get north of 280. You've had some solid production as well out of even someone like Carson Kelly, who's been able to give you about a 350 on base. And for Houston, this team has been a little bit below average in terms of their offense, but Isak Paredes has really been able to mash at home. The Crawford boxes in that ballpark in general really suits what he likes. He's a bit of a pull hitter, so 16 home runs for him this season. Jeremy Pena hitting north of 320 with a double-figure amount of homers. That's good. And Jose Altuve finding a way to move the line. Now, you need Yunier Diaz and Christian Walker to do a better job of getting on base, less than a 295 on base. So, I mean, they have been really not able to find a way to be able to get on base, but they do provide a bit of power, so you get a little bit of help there. But for the Astros, this is also a bullpen that has been solid. They have been a top six team in terms of bullpen area. I just think that it's a little bit more long-lasting with them. You got the Bryants, Brian King, Brian Abreu, Josh Hader, Steven Okert, so many guys that have been able to come in there, give you a sub 350 ERA. I do think that the Astros provide a little bit of value because I do like Walter just a scooge bit better than Horton in the spot. So I did take a shot on the Astros on the money line. We'd be willing to go up to a minus 112. And now that we're down to an 8.5, do like this over. Semi-total at an 8.6. What else I love is the fact that ProfitX, they're doing a great job of making sure that you're getting the best odds betting baseball all season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states. It is the first of its kind in the United States, and you're able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than sports books. This guarantees you the best odds of between 10 and 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with the promo code of VSIN, and you're able to earn $200 in profit cash over your first month. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we dive in on a game that I think is going to have lots and lots of intrigue on this Baseball Friday, as we've got all 30 teams in action here. And we go out to the desert, 9-10 on the card. The Miami Marlins coming off of a sweep of the San Francisco Giants on the road against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Merrill Kelly is on the bump for the Saints, and Eury Pérez goes for Miami. Miami is a pretty good-sized underdog, between plus 150 to plus 155, neighbor of minus 165 to minus 170, that number on Arizona. 8.5 being the total. This opened up at a 9, but you do want to know for the Arizona Diamondbacks, going through some injuries right now, as you've got Corbin Carroll just at the injured list, and Eugenio Suarez is going to try to give it a go in this one, but even if he does, he's going to be a little bit iffy. So those are your top two home run hitters for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That said, you still have a very formidable lineup, as Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte, how about him being able to give you north of 400 on base? And just have a lot of guys in general that they find a way to be able to move the line. You've had Geraldo Perdomo give you about a 350 on base. Josh Naylor give you north of a 360 on base. Gabriel Moreno at the catcher spot has been pretty solid as well. So I still think that you're in good hands with this lineup. And for Eury Pérez, he was so good two seasons ago. Still is the youngest active pitcher out there in the big leagues, by the way. But swing and miss stuff has been down. 8.5 strikeouts per nine innings, north of 3.5 walks per nine. Hasn't given up the deep ball in his three starts. It's only been 11 2/3 innings, but has yet to give up a home run. But certainly having those issues with regards to his command, that's an issue. And for the Miami Marlins, just not a great bullpen in general. Ronnie Enriquez has been able to give you a sub 350 ERA. You've been able to get some good production out of some like an Anthony Bender as well. But these mix and match guys like a Lake Bacar, Tyler Phillips, you've had some trepidations and some issues with them. I know that they were trotting out their George Soriano for a while. That was a failed experiment for them. So you got a lot of less than trustworthiness there. And for Merrill Kelly, this guy has always been better when he has been at home rather than away from home. Merrill Kelly has some of the more demonstrative home and road splits that you're going to be able to find in all baseball. And this dates all the way back to the 2019 season, his first season out there in the big leagues. I mean, this guy has been able to do such a good job of just being able to lock it down in general, as that road ERA for him throughout his entire career, hovering right around about a 435, 324 at home. And at home, he's giving up about one home run per nine innings. on the road. That does go to north of 1.25 home runs per 9 innings. And this is a Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen that they need all the innings that he can give them, because they have been in the bottom six in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You've had Juan Murillo be able to give you about a 4 or so ERA. And then you've been able to have two guys in Jalen Beeks along Shelby Miller do a nice job holding down the fort. They're giving you a sub-3 ERA, but they're trotting out there now Anthony DeSclafani in long relief, Taylor Scott. These guys have just not been amazing. But what else has not been amazing? The Miami Marlins trying to put bat to ball. They're bottom six team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. Kyle Sowers, Augustin Ramirez, between 11 and 12 home runs apiece have been solid. Really, nobody else on the roster has given you north of 8 home runs. Dane Meyers has been hitting above a 300. Xavier Edwards is getting hot with his bat, north of a 360 on base. But you just take a look at this Miami Marlins lineup, really not providing a lot of pop. Eric Waugaman has been able to do a solid job of being able to give you a little bit of average as well. But that said, I do think that Merrill Kelly goes out there, dominates, and I do think that this Diamondbacks team, who's going to be down for sure Corbin Carroll, perhaps, and Eugenio Suarez, they still have enough to be able to get this over, as I do think that they get to Eury Pérez and company. So, do like the money line here of the, or I should say the run line here of the Diamondbacks. I was willing to lay a price. Right now, you're finding that at about a plus 120, so I'm in on that run line, and I'm going to be in on this 8.5 over, as I would have been willing to take this if it were a 9. This is another National League game that I think is a fun one. 903-904, as you've got the San Diego Padres on the road against the Cincinnati Reds. And oh yes, we are on to Cincinnati, who's on to Nick Martinez getting a start for them, and Dylan Cease is on the bump for the Padres. Padres anywhere in the neighborhood of bottom minus 135 to a minus 140 favorite. Between plus 120 to plus 125, that number on Cincinnati. 9 being the total with the juice on the over. You're only getting about minus 115 with regards to that run line of the Padres. With the Padres, you were able to find a little bit of a better money line before. It opened up minus 130 or so. So I would like to see this drop back down to more of a minus 130. At minus 140, I'd be just waiting to see if there's a little bit of line movement. Heck, if you can get like a minus 125 on getting a run half with the Reds, I don't think that that's the world's worst look, because I actually do like this total under. For the Padres, it's been a rather pedestrian offense this season. Trio of guys that will be able to give you 12-plus home runs. Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Gavin Sheets, and then you do have someone like a Jackson Merrill moving the line, hitting for about a 350 on base, but that entire catcher spot has been a mess. They've been trotting out there the likes of Taylor Wade, Brandon Lockridge in the outfield, and I will say for the Padres, really good bullpen, top 8 team in terms of bullpen area. Recognize that Robert Suarez has blown a few saves here in the last few weeks, but these guys like a Jason Adam, Adriamoto Hone, being able to give you a sub-350 ERA have been solid. And for the Reds, it is a little bit of an iffy bullpen, and you do have a guy, Nick Martinez, who's not going to walk you, sub-2 walks per 9 innings, but has been giving up a little bit of hard contact. That does have you a little bit of caution there. And for the Cincinnati Reds, other than Ellie De La Cruz, not a lot of consistency with this offense, and they always like to call it Great American Small Park, but even though they call it that, the Cincinnati Reds are actually averaging more runs per game away from home rather than at home. So at the 9, I like the under. And for the Padres, if we could get back down to about a minus 132, like that money line. And coming up next, it is Greg's Random Football Roulette right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and we're holding it down with some football chatter, as we certainly have ourselves a lot of great baseball to be taking a look at. And in 15 minutes, I'll give you guys what I like on the baseball card for this Friday, but we do have to get you set for the upcoming NFL season. I'm in for 16 straight nights, so I figured this would be a great time to be able to give my NFL previews, as night number one was last night. We broke down a pair of rock-solid teams in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I like them to the under, and for the Rams, I think it might be a little bit of a less than tremendous year for them, and we did earlier in the show the Minnesota Vikings. So how about if we continue to get the boxes all checked with previewing all 32 teams in the NFL, and I'm going to pick a team by random, and we're going to give you thoughts on their season win totals, any sort of features I like, as more as it's Greg's NFL football roulette. And how about if we spin the wheel?
It's time to spin the wheel and see where it lands. This is Greg's Random Football Roulette.
And we go to a website that has been oh so reliable for myself ever since I was a freshman in high school, random.org. We've got all 29 teams that are still on the list. We hit the randomize button, big bucks, and we get ourselves a team that I actually like, the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans are, in my opinion, the only viable option to win the AFC South. As for the AFC South, I just don't see it with any of the other three teams. So, by default, I think that the Houston Texans win the division. Now, with the Houston Texans, here's my big question mark with them. The offensive line, because we did see the regression of C.J. Stroud last season. He was very rock solid as a rookie. I mean, one of the best rookie seasons that you're ever going to find. And I mean, for C.J. Stroud, what regression was 20 touchdowns and 12 picks. And it's not like he was terrible there. Here's the statistic that goes under the radar a little bit. 52 sacks, and that was with Laremy Tunsil. Now you don't have Laremy Tunsil, and you just take a look up and down the boulevard at the offensive line. Are any of these guys like clear albatrosses? No, but you're rolling the dice on Cam Robinson now shoring up the blind side. You've got Blake Fisher in there, Titus Howard. I mean, it's not necessarily great to say the least, but that said, you look around this division and the Jaguars don't have a great line. The Colts don't have a great line. The Titans don't have a great line. So, I mean, it's a misery loves company sort of situation. And you are going to want to get some of these guys just very healthy for the upcoming season. We recall the injuries that you saw towards back half of last season. Tank Dell missed a few games due to injury, so that's a little bit of an issue. Joe Mixon, I know that he got a little bit banged up during the season as well, but I mean, these should be relatively reliable guys, and you should be able to get a lot there. And they roll the dice on Nick Chubb. Like, I really like the fact that they roll the dice here on Nick Chubb. I think that this is going to be a tremendous 1-2 punch in the backfield. I think that that is going to be big for this team in a division where, I mean, with the Jaguars, they do a nice job of being a rush to passer. Feels like they've got a lot of vulnerabilities in terms of giving up big chunk yardage in the ground game for the Indianapolis Colts. Just very interesting what we're going to get out of them in general. Like, I think that the Colts might be one of the most mysterious teams in all of football. Rest in peace to Jim Irsay and what happened with that organization. You wish them absolutely nothing but the best. And then for the Tennessee Titans, I just think it's going to be a bad year in general for the Tennessee Titans. I don't see a lot of positivity for them. They're going to be better than the New Orleans Saints, so there's a little bit of positivity, but still, that's going to be a bit of an issue. And then you just take a look at this defense for the Texans. I think that this is going to be just a rock-solid bunch. When you've got the likes of Will Anderson and company in that front seven being able to rush a passer, you still have Derek Stingley, who's able to do a nice job in the secondary. I really love what this team is able to bring to the table, and I just don't see where the losses come from within the division. Now, I think that this is the saddest division in all football, and I think that's a runaway for saddest division in all football. Like, I mean, a lot of people want to rag on the NFC South, but I mean, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a solid team. I could see the Atlanta Falcons being rock solid there. Saints are not good, to say the least, but I mean, you still have some solid teams out there in the NFC South other than the Houston Texans. Who in this division is really going to be going north of 7 wins this year? That's anyone's guess, but there is a team. There has to be some wins in this division somewhere, unless if you're getting a whole bunch of ties, and I don't think that you're going to get a whole bunch of ties. And you take a look at the Texans' schedule, it is going to start off relatively brutal. You go on the road against the Los Angeles Rams to start the season. That's most likely a loss. And then you play the Buccaneers on Monday Night Football at home. A little bit of a toss-up game. I think that the Texans should be able to get the job done there. Not necessarily 100% sold that they get the job done there, but they should be able to. And then on the road against the Jags, on the road against the Titans, I think that that Jaguars game, despite the fact that it's on the road, very winnable. That Titans game, they should be able to polish off. And then on the road against the Ravens is tough. And then you have to go on the road to the Seattle Seahawks. You have to face off against the 12th man. That is not easy. But then things let up after this stretch of the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. The back half of their schedule is going to be very easy. And if you're looking to invest in this team, you probably want to invest in them right around about the middle part of the season, because then you get the Jaguars at home. That's a win. Titans on the road. That's a win. The Bills on Thursday Night Football is going to be tough, but on the road against the Colts should be able to get the job done. Chiefs on the road in Sunday Night Football, yeah, that's rough, but I think that they should be able to knock off the Cardinals, the Raiders. I think that they get the job done there. Chargers, that's going to be a bit rough at home against the Colts. There you go there. Right now, that preseason win total is 9.5, shaded up to the over. I think 9 wins gets it done in this division. Like, I wouldn't be jonesing to play the under, but I also wouldn't be jonesing to play the over. The way that you look at the Texans, in my opinion, you just bank on them to win the division. Because who else is winning games in this division? Like, I wish it was that simple, but I am the Jacksonville Jaguars. All sorts of question marks with a first-year head coach. You've got Trevor Lawrence, who just has not been able to take off the way that we thought that they were going to. Again, with the Indianapolis Colts, what do you have in this Indianapolis Colts team? That's a big, giant question mark. And, I mean, are you going to go with Anthony Richardson? Are you going to go with Danny Dimes? Heck, what are you going to be able to do in terms of a lot of those guys on the defensive side of things as well? So I think that that's a big question mark. And the Tennessee Titans had the number one overall pick. Do I think that they're going to be better than they were last year? Yes, I do, because there's really not much of a way that they can be any worse. So with regards to the Houston Texans team, you just take them to be able to win the division. And I know that it's a relatively chalky number. Like, for the Houston Texans to be able to win the division, they're right now +115, which honestly is not bad. Like, the fact that you're getting plus money on the Houston Texans to win the division, I actually think is a relatively good steal. That's something that I actually really like. Them to make the playoffs is -135. I think that if you think that they're going to make the playoffs, you just take them to win the division. Like, how on earth are you going to see multiple teams from the AFC South be able to make the playoffs? Like, you've got all these teams out there in the AFC North. That's going to be brutal. The East, that's not necessarily savory to say the least, but that West is going to be brutal. You've got the Chargers, you've got the Denver Broncos, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who, I mean, the AFC is pretty much the Kansas City Chiefs Invitational. They always make the title game out there in the AFC. They always win their division, so yep, this is going to be a case where with the Houston Texans, I do think that they get the job done to be able to win the division. I just don't know how much further they're going to be able to go, because they do have some relatively good pieces in general along that offense. Obviously, they had a little bit of musical chairs with regards to some of the skill position players from a season ago. So that's something that you do want to be taking note of, because they had Stephon Diggs for the first half of the season last year. He's now with the New England Patriots, but still a relatively solid wide receiver core. Again, that just big giant question mark, the offensive line. I don't know what you're going to be able to get there. I think that these guys are going to gel towards back half of the season, and that's where a lot of the winnable games come for the Houston Texans as well. So I think that when they need to be playing their best, this offensive line is going to be playing its best. I still think that Dalton Schultz is a pretty solid tight end for our C.J. Stroud. And again, with C.J. Stroud, his bad year last year, I feel like, was a little bit, shall we say, overblown. Like, I mean, a lot of players would take a first 2 years like C.J. Stroud has had, being able to make back-to-back playoff appearances, having two very solid statistical years, albeit he had a few more interceptions than he did in season number one. But you know what? I do think that he's going to be able to do a nice job leading this team to victory. And I think that the pressure is going to be taken off with regards to sacks as well, with the fact that you've got now Nick Chubb along with Joe Mixon in that backfield. Like, Damian Pierce, it's right now your number three back. Damian Pierce was a guy that, like, 2 or 3 years ago in fantasy, you thought, oh, thank goodness I've got Damian Pierce. He's an absolute monster. And now he's going to be scrapping for carries. So I do think that that's fun to be able to take a look at. And for the Texans team, I do think that they just take this division. Wouldn't want to go over 9.5 wins, because I'm right on that borderline of 9-10. If I had to lean, I would take under if I really, really had to. And again, I think that they make the playoffs, but I think that it's because they win a bad, bad division where there's nobody else that's going to be competitive whatsoever. So I do think that the Texans have some value to be able to win the AFC South. Their win total, wouldn't want to take it over, wouldn't want to take it under. And I do think that this AFC South that I was referring to a bit earlier, just by far the worst division in all football. There's just really none other that I compare. Like, even in the AFC East, at the very least, you know that you've got the Buffalo Bills who are going to be rock solid at number one. Once you get outside of the Buffalo Bills, that's going to be anyone's guess for this upcoming season. But you got the Buffalo Bills at number one. And I do think that for the Texans, they do a nice job cleaning up, getting the job done. And we're going to look to clean up and get the job done next, as we've got ourselves all 30 teams in Major League Baseball in action. We've got ourselves a full slate. And I'll give you guys all my bets on this Friday card on the flip side right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the final segment of the night right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, for Cashing Out. And coming up after myself, you get a replay of this fine program if you're listening live. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay at 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, it is Jensen Lewis and Dave Ross doing an absolutely amazing job with VSiN by the Book. They have been absolutely incredible ever since they've taken the stage. So I do love that. And I will not be joining them at 4:30 a.m., but I always love to do so whenever I get the opportunity to pull the back-to-back. So hopefully we'll be doing a little bit of that next week. They do such an incredible job, and then you get a numbers game where I appeared with Gil Alexander today, so that was a lot of fun. You can expect a little bit more of that moving forward, just for a little bit of an appetizer for you guys. And I actually had a good day on the ball diamond. The write-ups went 7-1, so you'll always take a 7-1 day. Granted, you always want to go 8-0. You want to win all of your bets, but you know what? If you have to settle for 7-1, you have to settle for 7-1. We shall live. So they are going to be coming up, Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland on a numbers game at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. And then at noon, it's Money Moves with Soremi Bonantoni and company. That's a rock-solid lineup if I've ever heard one. And now my task, it is clear, to be able to get you to that rock-solid Friday lineup cleanly, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket. And how about if we take a look at these games that we've got coming up for what is going to be a rock-solid Friday in Major League Baseball. Now, I will say, we've got a few games that are currently off the board. We do not know who the starter is going to be for the Minnesota Twins at this point, so that is a game that we have not seen listed on the board, and the Colorado Rockies are just a complete and utter mystery. I can tell you right now, I probably will not be landing on a bet on the Colorado Rockies, so that much I can give you right there. It's been a rough season for them, to say the least, and might be willing to take a shot on the over because Jose Quintana gives up a lot of general contact. But you know what? We have yet to hit this game. How about if we do dive in here? And the big reason why is that I like this 8-under. 7.5 becomes a little bit more of a horse apiece situation. 919, 920. It is the Walker Texas Rangers playing us, the Seattle Mariners. Logan Gilbert is on the bump for the M's, and Nathan Eovaldi goes for Texas. And Texas is back to being a very slight favorite. Minus 108, minus 110, minus 102 to minus 110 is that number on Seattle as well. And then your total on this game is 7.5. Personally, I took an 8-under. I did set my total more around a 7.7, and if I had a choice between a 7.5 to an 8, I would rather take an 8-under rather than a 7.5 over. But I do think that when you get down to a 7.5, it becomes a little bit of a roll of the dice because Nathan Eovaldi is making his first start coming off the injury list. And for Eovaldi, when he's been out there on the mound, he has been absolutely superb. A sub-175 ERA, giving up fewer than 2 walks per 9 innings, north of 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. But I have seen when Nathan Eovaldi has gotten injured in past years, just has not been himself as well. So that's something that does play into this. Now for Eovaldi, he missed about a month or so. Last start was in May 27th, so pretty much 30 days to the day. I think that may actually have 31 days, so 31 days to the day, and really didn't make any minor league rehab starts or anything like that, so you don't have anything to go off of on that front. Meanwhile, for Logan Gilbert, he was, you know, some injuries towards the beginning part of the season. First start coming off the injury list, rock solid, 10 punch outs there. Then he took the mound out there in Chicago where it was a 500 million degrees and the wind was blowing out and had a little bit of a rough outing there. Completely forgivable. I just toss that one out the window because when you get a Wrigley Field game where it's 500 million degrees and the wind is blowing out, well, I don't know if Walter Johnson or Cy Young themselves would be able to dominate in one of those starts. But for the Texas Rangers, I mean, this team has been about as offensive as Ned Flanders as far this season. Not getting a lot of offense here. Bottom five team in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. And if you're looking for something that has been oh so profitable as far this season, the unders in these Texas Rangers games when they have been at home. Overall, the Rangers are by far your best under team. 27 overs, 53 unders, and a push. That's their overall over-under record. If you're looking specifically at home, 29 unders to 10 overs. They have played 10 overs in 39 home games this far this season. Wyatt Langford has been able to give you 13 home runs, but I mean, you just have a lot of guys that you'd expect more from. Jake Berger, Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia, who have all been a little bit better recently, but they're in between a 220 to 230. None of these guys have above 10 home runs. Corey Seager has been miserable since coming off the injured list. Jock Peterson's on the injured list, but I mean, that's actually a good thing because Jock Peterson has been so bad that a poopy-flavored lollipop would be more useful than him this season, so that's been not great, to say the least. And you've got someone like a Sam Haggerty at the top of the fold, Josh Smith. These guys have moved the line a little bit, but calling card for this Texas Rangers team has been their pitching. Like Nathan Eovaldi, I think he's going to come in there, give you a good start. And then you do have quite a few guys that can mix and match. It's a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERAs. You've been able to have Chris Martin be able to give you some relatively solid innings. Robert Garcia has been a little bit up and down this season, but he's been able to do a nice job being able to put it on lockdown. Jacob Latz, who is a really good long guy, is now being utilized as a bit of a bulk pitcher, so that does hurt this team a little bit. But I mean, even Luke Jackson, who is having a rough start to the season, he's rounded into form as well. And for Seattle, this is a slightly above average team in terms of bullpen ERA, but you've been able to have the top guys be the top guys. Gabe Spire, along with Andres Munoz, Matt Brash, these guys have been able to give you sub-3 ERA. Brash is coming off the injury list. I still don't think it's given up a run, so that's solid. You did see the Seattle Mariners get blown out by the Minnesota Twins on Thursday, and they did have a little bit of a rain delay, but because of the blowout, they really didn't utilize too many of their trustworthy pieces, so that helps them out. And big dumper Cal Raleigh, right now on pace for 65 jacks as far this season. That would be a new American League record. J.P. Crawford is moving line. He's been able to give you darn near 400 on base. You do have a pair of guys in Julio Rodriguez, along with Jorge Polanco, who have been able to give you about 11 home runs, both hitting about a 250. They've been solid. Could use a little bit more average out of Rowdy Tellez, less than a 260 on base, but he's been able to give you a little bit of power as well. So this is a very interesting circumstance. I do think that for Eovaldi, he does come off the injury list and actually lends a relatively solid start. I do like this Rangers bullpen. Again, I played this at an 8 to the under. I wouldn't be willing to play it at a 7.5. If I absolutely had to play the 7.5, I'd be looking at the over, but I'd rather have an 8 under. And with regards to the Texas Rangers team, set them at a minus 123. I like them on the money line. What else I like is the fact that GBank, they sponsor all of our best bets, and they've got the $500 trifecta. This is where GBank, First Bet, and VSiN all come together. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card in your first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 over at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN, they complete the trifecta with a free VSiN promotion through October 31st, and that is a $200 value, and that is the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank for this promotion. And this is indeed a one-time promotion offer, and this is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer. This will not apply to requests converting existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions, they do indeed apply. Now let's take a look at what I'm all liking on the card for this Baseball Friday. We'll start with this one. The under has been very fruitful in Kansas City Royals game, and I do not know why we've got a 9.5 here. 927, 928 on the card. Dustin May hopes that it's May Day for the Dodgers. You've had Noah Cameron on the bump for the Kansas City Royals. For Cameron, is he doing for a little bit of regression? Yes, and that is a big reason why I do like the Dodgers here on the run line as well. You're going to be able to find that right around even money. Perhaps you're even able to get a plus 105 on there. I do like that with Dustin May. He's been a pedestrian pitcher. He's giving you about a 4.4 ERA, 8 strikeouts, 3 walks per 9 innings. So, I mean, he hasn't been great. He hasn't been terrible. But at the same time, you've got a Kansas City Royals team that's just absolutely terrible at home. They're averaging fewer than 2.8 runs per game at home. I recognize it's getting a little bit warmer out there in Kansas City. I recognize that you've had a little bit of wind the last few days, but even with the warmer conditions and the wind against the Rays, in 3 games, they scored 1 more run than Greg Peterson. And Greg Peterson is on a Major League Baseball team. Not great, to say the least. Meanwhile, for the LA Dodgers, they have to come down from elevation, playing over at Coors, so that's going to affect them a little bit, but you can bank on Shohei Ohtani doing Shohei Ohtani things. You've had Andy Paz be rock solid. So this is a spot where I do like that under, and I do like the Dodgers on the run line. Now let's give you an over. That's going to be out there in Yankee Stadium. Will Warren and Mitch Spence go at it in A's versus Yankees, 9-13, 9-14 on the card. Tomorrow's game is 8.5. For Warren, he's been worn out this year. 4.66 ERA. I will say that fielding dependent is sub-3. He is getting north of 11 strikeouts per 9 innings, but allowing a lot of general contact for the A's. Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom, these two guys have been able to combine for 30 home runs. And the Yankees, it's been rough with their offense. They have scored 4 runs or fewer in all but 3 out of their last 14 games. I do think that going up against an A's bullpen that is currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of ERA, Hogan Harris is the lone guy in that bullpen that has made at least 8 appearances that has a sub-4 ERA. I think that this is going to be a nice time for them to be able to pounce and to be able to strike. So I'm going to be liking them on the run line, the Yankees, and I do like that over. And then I like the Rays on the money line. This is going to be a spot where I also like the under. I do think that Ryan Pepiot is able to do a solid job, and Tomoyuki Sugano is just giving up a little bit too much general contact. So that's another one that I'm looking at, the Rays on the money line, and also that under. What else we're looking at? A tremendous slate here on this Friday for VSiN. VSiN by the books, that starts at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern with Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. A numbers game with Gil Alexander, 10 a.m. Eastern time, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific. And then Money Moves with Stroni Bonantoni and company. That comes your way at noon Eastern time right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.